I've been told there's a big event happening in a couple of weeks' time, something called Christmas. Not long to go now. The time is nearly arrived. The advertising industry has been in overdrive and alluring us to buy one thing or another and sending presents and making special offers, special deals, and attracting us to buy lots of things, perhaps some things perhaps we don't even need or desire, but certainly you get taken in and you end up buying things. And I wonder what you're hoping for a Christmas present. And I wonder what your thoughts are. Have you given a little bit of thought? Have you had a word with your parents or children, what they would like, or what sort of thing you really want, really, really want for Christmas? And have you been promised a special present? And you say you're going to get it? Or have you hope that you will receive it on the 25th in a couple of weeks' time? I very much hope to get a present that's what you really want, whether you need it or not. That's beside the point. There are sometimes you have things which just to enjoy them. And I wonder if you are, your parents or yourself are able to keep that promise you made to each other, to your children or the other way around. And whether you really want to keep a promise, but you're not able to keep it because you haven't got the money to buy the thing you want, and whether you haven't got the resources or you haven't got the time to shop, and you're not able to keep your promise. But I want to tell you something else today, that when God promises something, he always keeps his promise. He never, ever lets you down. And he always there with you. And what I want to have a look at is a look at the time, around the time when Jesus was born. And God promised in Genesis chapter 49, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Messiah comes. That seems an odd promise to make. But God was promising his people that Judah, that means the people of God, will always rule. And but when you read the story of Jesus being born, who was ruling at that time? But it wasn't the Jewish people, was it? It was the Roman people who had empire. They were ruling over God's people. And you're beginning to wonder whether God was keeping his promise, whether God was gonna. It doesn't seem to be God is able to keep his promise. But I would tell you that God was keeping his promise. And I want to answer that a bit later on at the end. And but God always keeps his promise. And as we read in our reading, and I want to have a look at two people, perhaps primarily focus on one of them. The two people I got in mind is the people we had the reading about. That is Zechariah and Elizabeth. Initially, I began to prepare a sermon on John the Baptist, but I never got as that far when I began to look at Zechariah and Elizabeth. We are told in chapter 1 of Luke, verses 5 and 6. Let me read that to you again. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statute of the Lord. We are introduced to two people, that is Zechariah and Elizabeth. We are told something about them. It's like their character reference. It's something which people observed and something which were quite noticeable about them. And we are told three things about them. They were righteous before God. They were righteous before God. What does that mean? Well, the Bible tells us that each one of us has done wrong things. Each one of us has disobeyed God. We have not loved God as we should have done. We have not obeyed God as we should do. And each one of us have done wrong things. And the Bible also tells us there is not a single person born, that is, except the Lord Jesus, who have not committed sin. So we are really, all of us, without exception, sinful people. And that means we really can't go to heaven. We can't be right with God. But somehow God wonderfully does something which we don't deserve. He forgives our sins and he gives to us that righteousness which only is his. He gives to us as a present. He gives to us a gift. He gives to us something which we don't deserve. That amazing gift from God. And in a sense, that is what Elizabeth and Zechariah had. They were righteous before God because God himself had gave them his own righteousness. They were sinners like you and me. They were disobedient like you and me. They did not love God as they should have done. But there come a time in their life when they realize they need to walk, they need to be right with God, and they had obtained, or they were given, God's righteousness to themselves. So they were righteous before God. We read that in verse 5 and 6. But we also told they walked blamelessly before God. How do people see us today? How do people know us? Do people around us find and point to us our faults, our failures? They point to us that and say to us, you messed up. And you're not walking. You say you're a Christian. You say you're doing the right thing. You believe in God. But really, when I look at your life, it's a bit of a mess, isn't it? It's a bit of a mess. But we read about the Zechariah and Elizabeth. We are told they were righteous people, but they walked, that means they lived blamelessly. And that is an amazing thing to say about a couple. But I've been reading about Daniel. Daniel was a character in the Old Testament. And he was also a man who walked blamelessly before God. He did the right thing. You know what happened? They were making false accusations against him in order to get him into trouble. In other words, they couldn't find fault with the way he was living. But they had to make up stories, false accusation, in order to lock him up or to send him into lions' dens. So this is what we read about Zechariah and Elizabeth, that they were walking blamelessly before God. In other words, they kept all the law. They lived a life which was pleasing to God. They lived a life which was holy before God. They walked in everything righteously. When you talk about walking righteously, it's not just turning up on Sunday and putting on your best behavior. It means whatever they did, whatever they were involved in, whatever they thought about, it was always right. And they did it honestly and righteously. Their business life, their home life, their spiritual life, all part of life was affected how they behaved before God. They walked blamelessly. I wonder if anybody could say that about you and me. And the other thing we read about them, that they kept God's commandment. You remember what I said earlier? None of us have been able to keep God's commandment. We not loved God as we should have done. We have disobeyed God. But this is a couple who kept God's commandment. They loved God. They only worshipped the true God. They didn't have any idol. They had the right priorities in their life. They kept God's commandments. And do you believe? And they believed all the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation as being the word of God. They kept God's word. And when I said, where on earth do you find a couple like that today? People who are righteous, people who walk blamelessly, and people who keep God's commandment. What a testimony, character reference, and a testimony to have about this couple. And you will think that couple who are such a religious nature, such a loving nature, and such obedient nature would have no troubles in their life. That everything will be fine, everything will be perfect, and they will have a good life on earth. And they will have no problems whatsoever. But certainly, that didn't happen to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Look at verse 7. We are told, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. And we are very much told that Zechariah and Elizabeth wanted to have a child. Elizabeth had a problem with conceiving, and also both they were getting on in years. So humanly possible, there wasn't a chance of them having children. And the time for Elizabeth to have a child was gone. She was getting to be an old lady. And for a couple who want to have children, it's a big issue, isn't it? To the somebody who really want to have a child, boy or a girl, and they can't have children because of medical issues. And the thing about that time, there was no medical support or medical help or medical cure for these people. And couples also had another issue. Not just they were just childless, but in the society in which they lived. If you didn't have children, you got the blame. Particularly the women got the blame, because the people thought they couldn't have children because they were sinners, because they were disobedient to God, because they were doing wrong things before God, and God was punishing them. That was a thought pattern of that time. But certainly you couldn't say that about Zechariah and Elizabeth, because God tells us that they were righteous people. And they were walking blamelessly before God, and they kept God's commandments. So it doesn't matter how righteous or perfectly you walk before God, you can still have problems. You still got illnesses. You still have problems in your life. You still have issues to deal with. So it doesn't mean that if you're a Christian, you're not going to have problems in your life. So here we got a couple who walked blamelessly before God, and they have an issue. They have a problem to deal with. So if you find somebody who's had mental health issue or physical illness, cancer, or fallen and broken something, it's not because they're disobedient to God. It is because that's a normal experience of life. But how they deal with these issues is very important. Because there are a number of people in the scriptures who had the same problems that dealt with it according to God's word. And we, for instance, we have problem with regarding Abraham and Sarah. Sarah had the same issue. She couldn't have children. But God promised you will have children. And then you have Elizabeth and Elkanah and Hannah. And they couldn't have children. And so there was an issue there. You see, even people who are God's people and obedient to God and living in God's way, they still will have problems and issues in their lives. And don't add to their problem saying, you got this, because you are disobeying God or you're not following God as you should have done. It has nothing to do with it. We all have to experience normal human life and suffering and pain as well. Now, then we come to, I want to talk to you about Zechariah, now on his as on his own. Let me read to you verses 8 to 10 of Luke chapter 1. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. We notice something about Zechariah. And first of all, that Zechariah was a faithful priest. He was a faithful man. He belonged to a tribe of priests which served the temple. And it wasn't just a small group of people, or 20 or 30, and they carried on serving God. There were 32,000 priests during that time who will be serving. They would take it in turns, but they were divided into different families. And chance, probability of a person serving as a priest and go to burn incense, if they did it once in a lifetime, that would be it. And there are some priests who didn't even have that once in a life opportunity to do that. So in order to be fair, they would draw lots. And lots were drawn when Zechariah was a priest, when his family was serving at that time. And he was chosen to serve and to enter the temple and to burn incense, while the rest stayed outside and prayed. In all probability, that it wouldn't have been. But there we are. God is in control of what happens. Even you might think it's a chance, but God is still in charge. Let me tell you a story about last year. I went to India to a church which we support from our local church, from church in Leicester and Wigston. And I went to India in order to do it. They had a new building erected, and I went to join in the service and meet God's people there in India. Now, that was 12 months ago, and I was in India a few weeks ago, and I was in Delhi with my wife and the rest of the family. There's I think 11 of us. And when we sat down, we were in a hotel and flying back. When we were in a hotel, we were sitting down for breakfast, and somebody got up from the table. He said, excuse me, he said, were you in Vinukonda last year? That's the place where the church is. I said, yes. He said, I was there. I'm a pastor of a church. I'm a minister of the church there. So there are over a billion people in India. What's the probabilities of meeting somebody on the next table, recognizing me? And that was amazing. We had a good time of fellowship, good time of chat. And I don't think it was just chance. It was God bringing us together so we could encourage one another in the things of God. It was, I think, God planned. And it was even more so in the case of Zechariah. It was even more so in the case of Zechariah. And what happened inside the temple was truly miraculous. It was planned in detail by God. And Zechariah sees the angel Gabriel. And I don't know how you would react if you saw an angel come here, particularly if you were on your own. We are told he was petrified. He was terrified when he saw an angel. And I think I would be the same if I physically, so an angel. And the angel, let me read to you from verse 11. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, and he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to the make ready for the Lord a people prepared." We are told that God's angel Gabriel tell him, your prayers have been heard. And God knows. And we have no idea how long Elizabeth and Zechariah have been praying for a child. It doesn't tell us. But we know they've been praying for a long while, because they were, you know, the Bible tells they were getting old. They couldn't physically have children. But I'm not so sure, but they've given up praying. They're saying, it's not quite possible to have children anymore. But the answer didn't come. It didn't come for a long, long, long time. We know what's it like when you pray for healing, for yourself or for your member of your family, or you praying for someone from your family to come and hear the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. You pray for them that they might come to faith and trust in God. You pray intensely for them. But nothing seemed to happen. And nothing seemed to change. Their character doesn't change. Their desire doesn't change. They still carry on following the same way. It can be very discouraging, disheartening as a Christian. And you begin to ask, really, you begin to question your own faith and trust. Have you been there yourself when you begin to doubt God and God's ability? What we hear from here, that God always listens to your prayers. He always listens to his people. And God's answer sometimes is no. You can't have it because it's not good for you. It's not good for you. And sometimes the answer is immediately yes. You can have it now. I'll answer your prayers. I'll get that person to come to church. I'll get that person to hear the news. I'll get that person into my kingdom and save them. And there are sometimes the answer is not yet. And sometimes the answer is not yet. And this was the case with Zechariah's. And his prayers were answered beyond his wildest dreams. And what an amazing thing was going to happen to Zechariah's family. God wasn't just going to answer his prayers. God was going to answer his prayer beyond his expectations. When you pray sometime you can only ask God for certain things, thinking God is able to answer that. And you limit God to what you think God is able to do. You might not think in those terms, but this is what happens sometimes. Here we have God's answer to Zechariah's and Elizabeth's prayers that they will have a son. And not only that, that God himself will give him the name of John. That's God's name for that child. And that child, we are told, will cause rejoicing. There'll be a great joy among the people, among the family and others. And there's going to be something very exceptional about this child. Very exceptional. That is that he was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit right from the time he was to be born. Isn't that amazing? What God was telling Zechariah and Elizabeth. And he will have a job to do. So even before he's born, even before he's conceived, God got a mission for that child. And that was to go out and preach and cause people and tell people to repent, cause repentance. And not only that, he's going to be mighty. He's going to be powerful. He's going to be like the great prophet Elijah. Remember the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament? He was going to be like that. He was going to be a mighty man of God. And he will prepare the way of the Lord. They prayed for a child. They waited long time. God answered, not only with a son, but a special child. Isn't this what happened about Samuel? Remember Hannah praying? Prayed a long while, and God answered Hannah, and Samuel was born, and he was to be a great man of God. What have you been praying for? Don't give up. Keep on praying for your family, for your friends, for your wife, for your husband, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your work colleagues. Keep on praying. God never stop listening. And he's listening now, and he will listen to your prayers. He delights to hear his people pray. He will answer according to his own will. And he will answer in his time. But our responsibility before God, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, to carry on praying, keep with it, and keep remembering it before God. So that was Zechariah's faith. But Zechariah also had a doubting faith, didn't he? He doubted. And Zechariah, we told in verse 18, Zechariah said to angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years." He basically say, "I'm getting on, angel Gabriel. And I can't believe what you are just telling me." "Surely," he said, "it's a mistake." Perhaps he thought he misheard what Gabriel said to him. He's too old, and certainly his wife Elizabeth is too old to have a child. And he's been praying for a child, and now God answers to Zechariah. And often we can have same sort of response. You pray for something which is humanly possible, but not pray for something which is really humanly impossible. We limit God ourselves in our praying. But we forget we have a supernatural God. He's beyond us. He's beyond our limitation. He's the all-powerful being. And God will answer our prayers. Listen to what James says. "The prayer of a righteous person has a great power as it is working. Elijah," same man again, "was a man with nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." Elijah prayed. And what James is saying, really, is no different than you and me. He was man like you and me. He was a person like you and me. He prayed, God answered. You pray, God will answer in the same way. That's what James is telling us. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Then Paul, writing to Ephesians, says this: now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. So, although Zechariah prayed, he didn't quite believe what God was able to do, that God was able to answer. And let's not limit God's ability just by our human reasoning. And we read about Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament, and she doubted God's promise regarding her having a child and tried to manipulate the situation in order to help God. That wasn't the right thing to do. But God always keeps his promise. And God and Angel Gabriel says, behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And sometimes God challenges about our lack of understanding and trust in him. And this is what happened with Zechariah. He was unable to speak. He was mute until John was born. And that's what we need to do. We need to continue to trust God. And he had a doubting faith, but he also had obedient faith. His faith was obedient. We read in verse 24 and 25 of that chapter. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. We are told that God fulfilled his promise. Elizabeth conceived and gave birth to John. Their family members and friends were pressurized and Zechariah and Elizabeth for the child's name, to be given a child's name. A different one, a family name. But John and Elizabeth stuck to the decision with the name which God has given to them for the child. That was to be John. They stuck obediently to God. And they were able to sustain under pressure. And that's what we need to do. No matter what happens to us from the world, from the society, from the family, we need to obey God rather than ourselves and our society. And we have a great opportunity at this time of the year, don't we? Because we are told, unto us, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And God desired that we should know and love him and be obedient to him. He always keeps his promise. Do you know, I don't know how many years Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for a child. But God had promised years and years ago that he will send a man who will prepare the way of the Lord. The very last verse in the Old Testament, in Malachi, 450 years before John was born, God promised that he will send his son who will prepare the way of the Lord. Not 20 years, not 30 years, 450 years prior to John being born, God promised through Malachi that he will send his son. Let me read those verses to you. Verses 5 and 6 of Malachi chapter 4. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Word for word, what the angel was saying to Zechariah at that time in the temple. God promised and God fulfilled. And this is something which is important for us, isn't it? that God will always keep his promise, even when it doesn't seem it's going to be fulfilled. Remember what I said about who was ruling the time when John came to? But because people have been disobedient, because people not doing what God had told, he withdrew some of the blessings. He withdrew. In the end, there was only the Sanhedrin Council which were ruling God's people, but God's people were still being ruled by God's people, God's leaders. And today, we need to really keep thinking that God will keep his promise. He always listens. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, who said, "For unto us a child is born, and he is the Savior, your Savior and my Savior." And we need to trust him. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn. It's 352. God has spoken by his prophet, spoken his unchanging word, each from age to age proclaiming God the one, the righteous Lord. 352.